Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Beautiful day out there. Drives people off the lake and into the church. Couple of things happening this week. Council meets Tuesday evening at 5:30. If that involves you, please put it on your schedule. It's hard to believe, but our Saturday evening services, we only have two more of those, and our veggie stand's opening open two more Saturdays and two more Tuesdays from now. You guys get to go to school. You lucky dog. Are you looking forward to it? Really? Kids are different these days. Anyway, summer's coming to a close, so I hope you had a good one. Our jamboree is the 19th and 20th of September, and our theme this year is movie themes. So the choir's been working up some really good songs. You doing anything this year, Jerry?
No.
Once was enough. Huh? Let's begin with a word of prayer. We hear the psalmist, Lord, saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Today as we gather, we pray your spirit might stir in our hearts and challenge us in our souls to think on who you are and how you operate and how you move and how your spirit works in our lives and in the lives of everyone we meet. We pray, O Lord, that your spirit might stir in our lives today, that we would think on you. So send your spirit as we worship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the last day. Our friend Bill Bredarius is with us. So he's heading up to Detroit Lakes to live, and he's going to be teaching in Barnesville. So we wish you the best. Thank you for spending time with us. Yeah. Let's join in singing. We'll open with the song.
Despair, my
That wasn't too bad for a swan song. Yeah, thanks. I'd invite you to please rise. Let's turn to our opening hymn. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse of hymn 410. Turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. The presence of God who sees our hearts and our minds, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for a silent confession. And let us confess together, God, our strength, we confess that we are captive to the power of sin that dwells within us. We put ourselves first and others last. What we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Rescue us from death's grip on our lives and raise us up day by day, that we may be alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are justified by God's grace as a gift. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the prayer of the day. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given great and precious promises to those who believe. Grant us the perfect faith which overcomes all doubts through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading today is from Romans 11, verses 1-29 and 32. God has not rejected Israel. Rather, the call and gifts of God are irrevocable, so that while all have been disobedient, God has mercy upon us all. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. We'll read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print, and when you see the bold R, read the refrain. Let all the peoples praise you. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide all the nations on earth. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us. May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. Let all the peoples praise you. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Gospel lesson today comes from the 15th chapter of St. Matthew. Jesus teaches his disciples that true purity is a matter of the heart, rather than outward religious observances. Almost immediately, this teaching is tested when a woman considered to be a pagan and unclean approaches him for help. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 752. Let's sing it through twice. Send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children pray. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading an old book written by Bennett Cerf. Some of your older ones might know who Bennett Cerf is. Most of you younger ones never heard of the old guy. He told a story of a doctor friend of his who was addressing a doctor's conference with all the medically trained people in the audience, and he told a story of an 80-year-old, quite ill-tempered woman who was pretty agitated, and she seemed to agitate everybody she came in contact with. Well, she needed some surgery. The doctor was quite stern with her, said, "I will fix you up, but you're going the day after surgery, you're going to have to walk for 10 minutes a day. And then work up on that." Well, the lady didn't say anything. The surgery went well. It was quite routine. First day, she got out of surgery. She walked for 10 minutes. And the next day, she walked for 20 minutes. And the next day, she was all over the hospital, walking in places she shouldn't be. The doctor, before they released her, sat down with the two children and this lady. And the kids just said, "What a wonderful job, what a miracle work you are." And the doctor says, "Nonsense." He said, "This is just a routine surgery." "You don't understand, doctor," the kid said. "My mother hasn't been able to walk for 6 years." And that his point was, it's amazing what faith in a doctor or faith in a parent or faith in a teacher can do when you take him for his word. Faith and determination can go a long, long way. In our Bible lesson today from our gospel, we got the story of this healing of the demoniac daughter of the Canaanite woman. Just for your information, Jesus in the gospels only two times says, "Great is your faith. What great faith you have." And neither one is to the people of Israel. The first time he uses "great is your faith" is with a centurion soldier. The soldier had worked in a village, had helped build the temple with the people, wanted the best for the people. The centurion's son was sick. The people say, "Jesus, can you go and see the centurion because his son is very sick?" The centurion comes out and says, "You don't need to come to my house. If I give an order, it's done. If you say the word, my son will be healed." And Jesus says, "Great is your faith," and that son was healed. And this is the second place. A gal from a Canaanite woman. Canaan, let me refresh your memories. After the people of Israel were freed from slavery, they wandered 40 years out in the wilderness in the deserts. Moses wasn't allowed to go into the land of milk and honey, so they nominated Joshua to lead the armies. God told Joshua that you got to wipe out all the Canaanite people that lived there. Well, there were a few that fell through the cracks, okay? And this is northern part of Israel at the time. A few Canaanite people still lived there. This Canaanite woman wasn't Jewish, didn't worship the same gods as Jesus or all the other people. She was a different race, a different creed. But she had a daughter who was sick, who was a demoniac. Now, this being filled with demons, most scholars today in the Western world don't understand it. Most would say it's some form of mental illness. This woman had gone, if your kids were sick, you would go anywhere, do anything to try and find healing and find peace, especially when they're so living a lifestyle that's so upsetting and so uncomfortable. Some of you have had children or grandchildren who've gotten in trouble, and I know you've gone and saved them or done anything you could. If you got to travel around the world to get them help, you would. This Canaanite woman hears about this miracle worker, Jesus, who's of a different faith, a different nationality. They didn't even like him. It's kind of like the Green Bay Packer fans sneaking across our border. Anyway, she goes and starts hollering, "Jesus, have mercy! Jesus, have mercy!" And it bothers the disciples so much that they tell Jesus, "Can you get rid of her? Stop! You know, she's been hounding us forever." And the most of the time when they were talking, I can imagine this woman getting out front, falling on her knees and say, "Please, Jesus, have mercy on me." "Well, what's your problem?" "My daughter, she's full of demons. She can't control herself. We need help. Can you have help?" And Jesus says, I've come for the lost tribe of Israel, not for Canaanites. She says, "Please, Jesus, have mercy." He says, "It's not right to give food off the table to the dogs." That wasn't very nice. The woman says, but even the dogs eat the scraps from the table when they fall off, the crumbs. And Jesus must have smiled, since this is a smart woman. This is a woman who needs some help. And he says, great is your faith. As you say, your daughter is healed. And she's healed. Demons. I thought I would share a story about demons. We were missionaries, my family and I, for 7 years in Southeast Asia. First generation Christians. Before that, they were ancestral worshipers, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, free thinkers. Less than 5% of the population was Christian. In my the church that I served with a Chinese pastor and a pastor from India, two times they asked me to come and help with casting out of demons. I'm going to tell you about a third time, though. My family and I, 90 degrees every day, 95% humidity, day after day, week after week, month after month, half a degree north of the equator. To get cool, we'd have to go up to a place in northern Malaysia called the Cameron Highlands. We'd drive 10 hours, and the last hour and a half was switchbacks to get up above the clouds. There's a little hostel up on top, four rooms. We'd go there to cool off. There were four rooms in the building, or four units. The unit that we usually stayed in was taken, so we had to stay at a different unit. There's two beds in a back room, the toilet, and in the front room there's a fireplace and beds where Karen and I got to stay. We got there, our room was taken, so we had to take this other room. There were two beds in that back bedroom, and the kids started arguing. They didn't want to go to the bed that was closest to the wall. They didn't want to go to the bed. And so the oldest one got to choose. She took the other bed. And my son, the baby, age 5 or 6, slept in this one. He couldn't sleep. He was sweating. He rolled back and forth, back and forth. I was up. Karen was up. I was up. Karen was up all through the night, and the sun came up, and we played. The next night, our daughter goes over there. She's sweaty, rolling back and forth, discomfort, crying, whining. I'm up, Karen's up, I'm up, Karen's up. Finally, the sun comes up and we all take naps, okay? Third night, I'm too dead to get up. About 4 o'clock, I get up once, but she can't rouse me. That's the sleep of the peaceful. Anyway, she says about 4:30 in the morning, Jake is rolling around sweaty and crying and whining and moaning. And Karen comes to the end of her rope. She lays her hands on Jake. She says, please, Jesus, please help Jake get some rest. Please be with him. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to rest. And out of his mouth comes a whee, and out of the window and down into the valley goes the sound. And Jake just falls right to sleep. And Karen's sitting there. Holy smokes, what happened? And she couldn't sleep the rest of the night thinking about this. 6:30, she came and shook me awake and said, I got to tell you something, and she told me the story. Now, I've been known not to let the truth get in the way of a good story. But Karen is as honest as the day is long, and she wouldn't exaggerate and wouldn't make things up. And the only thing I can think of was that there was some kind of a evil spirit, some kind of a demon, some kind of a presence in the corner of that room. And my wife wouldn't make that up. And that's my experience. I could share the other experiences with you, but you get the idea. In first-generation Christian places in the world, people invite spirits of animals into their lives. They worship idols. And there's a spiritual world out there. And us who live here in Minnesota on Lake Mille Lacs, it's not hardly a part. Maybe the evil one takes different forms in the way of alcohol or drug addiction or mental illness. Friend Robin Williams knew what that was all about. And all of us have been touched by evil somewhere in our lives. This woman in the gospel has a daughter who's sick. And she cries out and she comes to Jesus. She had cried out all over and fought, asked for help, but it didn't come. And Jesus says, I've come for the lost children of Israel. Even the dogs get crumbs. Jesus must have smiled because this woman understands that God is a God of love for all of his creation. The Spirit of God is in every bit of his creation. The love of God is for every person that walks the face of the earth, regardless of denomination, regardless of the lines we put between countries, regardless of race or color of your skin, or school you attend. All are of God. All of creation is of God. I think of the thing that's going on down in one of those suburbs of St. Louis. 53 policemen in that suburb. 50 of them are white and the other two are women and one is Latino. What's wrong with that picture? I think of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, shooting bombs at each other. What's wrong with that picture? I think of ISIS and Al-Qaeda coming in and killing, beheading, raping, murdering. What's wrong with that picture? The world needs to know the love of God. If Jesus were on the scene, I think he would do some healing. Maybe that's our job, is to bring Jesus to the scene. Anyway, here's the bottom line. I don't really understand this lesson. And I don't really understand demoniacs or demons and how that takes place. But I do know that God loves every one of you. And I do know some days when we talk to God, he seems absent. Just like this woman went from place to place to place, there was no answer from her gods. Finally, Jesus, even he wanted to dismiss her. It's not right to give food from the table to anybody else but the children of Israel. Even the dogs get help. So maybe the message is, let's not put people in the box. Even Green Bay Packers fans are welcome here. Something for us to think about this day. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering, but let's switch this song up. Let's sing hymn 742. What a friend we have in Jesus. 742.
All is there.
Please rise and let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you. You open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Filled by the Spirit, let us join the whole people of God in Christ Jesus in praying for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Lord, your house is a house of prayer for all peoples, all outcasts, and all who love your name. Reach into our hearts and focus our attention on this central mission of your gospel. Lord, in your mercy, embrace all of creation in your loving arms and show us a better way to care for your earth. Increase our understanding of the atmosphere and oceans and help us protect endangered species. Lord, in your mercy, you ask us to maintain justice and do what is right, that all nations know peace. Uphold those international organizations striving to work together for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, shine your face upon those in need of healing for bodies, minds, and spirits. We especially remember in our prayers Patty Honnell, Joyce Reimer, Judy Wozni, Darwin Breeswitz, Ron and Carol Haas, and those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Strengthen our faith and fill us with hope as we humbly kneel before you. Lord, in your mercy, open our hearts to the visitors among us, to their gifts and questions. Fill them with your welcoming presence. Watch over those who are absent and bring them safely home. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing Bill into our midst, our choir master. Watch over him as he moves and sets up a new household. Be with the Brays as they pack their bags. Watch over Phil and Barb as they set up a new household this week. Be with Tom and Gloria as they try to make changes to their house who had a fire. Send your holy angels to give them peace and allow them to rest in your arms. And Lord, if you could watch over our loved ones and smile upon them, keeping them safe this week, we would sure appreciate that as well. As you gather the faithful who have died into your eternal home, remind us of everything they have taught us in your name. Thank you for their presence among us. Lord, in your mercy, into your loving hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather at this holy table, ever mindful of Jesus' presence here in the bread and in the wine. At his last meals with his disciples and with his family and friends, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know, and we will serve you bread that has no flour. In our communion tray, we have grape juice and wine, so you may dip in either side. We'll start with this side first and follow with this side. Table set. Come, eat and drink. Rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have fed us in a way our hearts can understand with the saving body and blood of Jesus Christ. Enliven us by your presence in this meal and presence in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May God the sower make you good and fertile soil. May Christ the seed bloom and grow in your words and actions. May the fruitful Spirit bring forth a bountiful yield in your lives. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 545. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Yeah.